Blog Talk Radio.
TNT, we are back, and I know that you guys have been waiting all week for another edition of Christian Talk. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Hi, Tasila, how are you today?
Hello, how are you? I want to say hi to all our friends and family out there. God bless you all, and welcome for being on the TNT show, Christian Talk Show, where we lift up Jesus Christ, and he's number
Amen.
One. This is where everyone, you can say, Jesus is the King of Kings.
Couldn't
and the
have
Lord
said that
Lord.
Better. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. We lift him up. And for right now, I'd like for all of you to pick up your phones or grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture or the link wherever you see our post for this particular show. And, if you just choose to listen from your computer. So just click on the post where you see, you can click on the picture or the link where you see the post of this particular show. You might see the post on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. Just go ahead and click on it and sit back and listen from your computer, okay? All right. Now, we are also on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life. You can also catch us on YouTube and on Facebook Live and many other apps. So just go ahead and tune in. You know, you can find, just look for The Message of Life on even on other social media, you know, like to name a few, On Demand, Roku, iHeartRadio, and many more. Type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain. Okay. One more thing. These are my announcements, okay? So one more thing. We're inviting you to
well,
come and worship
pushing.
With us.
Take your time. Even though I'm very excited to hear our guest tonight, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a doozy. We're inviting you to come and worship with us. We're Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. Pastor Tasila and myself were the pastors of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, and we're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m., so if you are in the California area, if you're in California, just come and visit us, okay? And particularly in the Inland Empire area. We're about, we're east,
that's
about an hour, a little more than an hour east of Los Angeles. So
make sure
and visit.
Let them know that it's called the Upper Room where we're located.
Yeah, we're located in an upper room. Okay, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, we're located in, and you can find us, we're in an upper room, and it's really nice, so and you'll love it. Some good, deep teaching is what we try to bring forth, the pure, true Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you want to wax strong and grow in the Spirit, come on and join us and just be blessed, okay? Okay. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this with our guests. Don't go away.
Always living victory.
Hallelujah. You are listening to Christian Talk Radio with Pastor T. Meyer and Tusila McCain, also known as TNT. And you know, Pastor Tusila, wait, hold on. What's this? Can you hear that? What's going on? It is time, and it's not necessarily time for a TNT moment, but it's time for our guest. Our guest for this evening, and you guys have been waiting all week to hear from him. Our special guest is Apostle Kipling Taylor. He's back again for part two, ladies and gentlemen. Last week was a doozy, and now he's coming back.
All right.
And he's back with us again, and he's really going to lay it on us this time. Those of you who didn't hear him last week, I want to just tell you a little bit about Apostle Kipling Taylor. Okay, he's the general overseer of God's Army of Churches with ministries established in Liberia, East Kenya, India, and Pakistan. GOACI was established on November 14th, 2010. The prayer line component, the soldiers' call to worship, that started on February 7th, 2011. And they meet Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern time. So you might want to check that out, okay? In July of the same year, the Bible study component, the Walk to Wisdom Bible study, was started on July 9th, 2011. And as of March 12th of this year, 2022, he now teaches Bible study to a congregation in India. And that's interesting. Apostle Taylor is also a 16-year veteran of the U.S. military, 10 years active in the United States Navy, 2 years in the USN Reserve, and 4 years in the CAARNG. I guess that's the National Guard, right? Would be the National Guard. Yeah. While in the Navy, Apostle Taylor became a member of the Crisis Response Force, CRF/SWAT team. It is where he began to understand the importance of warfare. So you know it all, warfare in the natural and warfare in the spirit. After his time in the Navy, he joined the National Guard as a member of the 2nd Battalion, 185th Regiment, Bravo Company, and obtained the title of Gunner/Tank Commander. He is a founder, manager for the Transit System of Atlanta, Georgia, Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, more commonly referred to as MARTA, where he worked until November 1st, 2021, where he retired from. So he's retired now. All right, more time for the ministry. Apostle Taylor is a lifelong learner with a Bachelor of Science degree in management and a Master of Science degree in organizational leadership. And in January of 2023, he will enter the DBA program to achieve his doctorate of business administration. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the Apostle Kipling Taylor.
Yay! Woo! Yay!
Wow. How are you, Apostle?
God bless, Pastor.
How are you
God
doing?
Bless both of you. Pastor Tusila, God bless you. Good to hear your voice this week.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Good to be heard.
Amen, right? Amen. Sometimes better heard than
than not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's jump right into this, amen, quickly, and because, you know, time will just zip right by, and we'll be here.
It sure will.
Amen. Amen. So, Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. We praise you. We magnify you. We bless your holy name. Lord, you are awesome, and you are mighty, almighty God. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we can do nothing without you, but through you all things are possible. And so, Father God, we look to the hills in which cometh our help. Our help comes from you. Lord, I yield now to the power of your Holy Ghost. I ask that you would take control of my mind and of my lips, giving me clarity of thought and of speech tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lord, use me, oh God, hallelujah, to speak as your oracle, that you would get the glory out of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we talked about some things, specific things, and we came out of Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9, Mark chapter 13, verse 22, 2 Peter 1:20, and, amen, Revelation chapter 13. We was going to get to 13, verses 11 through 18. But I want to say, let me just go right here real quick to 2 Peter 1:20. It says, above all, we must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. And that echoes what Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but for direct our path. So who is the he? The he is the Holy Spirit. And when we look at the artifacts that were in the Ark of the Covenant, we know that there was the law, the showbread, and the budding rod. The law, the Ten Commandments, the showbread, which is symbolic of Jesus being the bread of heaven, or there was the showbread, the manna, and then the budding rod. The budding rod is the shepherd's staff. But the reason why it's budding, because it's representative of giving life. Just like when in Exodus, ancient Israel was given victory after the 10 plagues came and Pharaoh finally let them go after the 10th plague was when the spirit of death came into Egypt and killed the firstborn of everyone, of everything in Egypt. And then he let them go. Now that's also symbolic because there was a lamb slain and the door and the blood was painted over the doorpost, which again is symbolic of Jesus going to the cross. He is the lamb slain before the foundation. He had no fault. He had no sin, just as the lamb or the yearling goat had no blemish. And so he was not tainted by the world. The spot represents sin. The blemish represents sin, and he had none. And so the Bible is three things. It is symbolic, it is literal, and it is prophetic. And throughout the Bible, we hear all three of these voices speaking. But I want to go back really quick here. Something that I talked about last week, and this is called the biblical law of first mention. And just to give you an example of some of the things of first mention: light, Genesis 1:3; blood, Genesis 4:10; grace, Genesis 6:8; just or righteousness, Genesis 6:9; perfect, Genesis 6:9; atonement, Genesis 6:14. And on, there are so many biblical laws of first mention. Now, what does that mean? That means that the lawgiver, God, has established this, and only the lawgiver can change it. And when we go to Revelation 22, verses 17 through 21, it talks about, in specific, verse 19, it talks about not being able, or we should not add to nor take away from the words in this book. For if we do, then the seven plagues will be added unto us. And whatever you had coming, your name will be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's, you're skating on thin ice when you start trying to change things that God established. When we look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, there the Passover was established. And it says at the end of that verse, it will be an ordinance for, established as an ordinance forever. But yet and still, the New Testament church has forgotten the Passover because we've been told through deception that the Old Testament is the Jewish Bible and it doesn't really pertain to the New Testament church. Now, that's a lie because it is all about the New Testament church. Ancient Israel, the church in the wilderness, is symbolic or a type and shadow of the New Testament church. The tabernacle and the temple, those are symbolic of meeting places in the New Testament church, right? And so we cannot, we do not have the right nor the authority to dispense and to change things that God has established. So we look at what we've learned through deception. And the Catholic Church, which is not God's church, was started by Constantine. Go ahead. Emperor Constantine. Emperor Constantine, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Very well.
I'm hearing some background noise. Okay. But Emperor Constantine started the Catholic Church by placing a person known as the Bishop of the West. And how this person became later on the Pope, he started out by politically appointing men to the position of bishop, which you now see in the modern day church, when bishop only means pastor. So both of you technically are bishops. But we know also now, when we look at the qualification of the bishop, it's the husband of one wife. But we won't go into all of that tonight. But what I'm trying to say to you is that title bishop doesn't really mean, it does not mean anything because more than what it is. But we've made it something greater. And we're elevating people just as in the time that the Catholic Church was building. And then what happened is he would appoint these men to these positions who most of them couldn't even read and write. They certainly did not understand Latin, for the Bible at that time was in Latin, and they could not read or speak Latin. So, and as he began, because initially he had no standing army and no money. So this is how he finagled getting territory. And as he acquired the territory, he began to do what's called selling indulgences. And he would send priests out, and they would sell indulgences. So what is an indulgence? Well, if you turn your television on at 2 o'clock in the morning, you see these televangelists say, send me $1,000 and God will. That's an indulgence. Mm-hmm. Because God is not anything, because God cannot be bought. And so what happened is these indulgences were recorded on what's called a bowl, a B-O-L. And it was at one instance that Martin Luther, who was a friar, a priest, and he came and he saw other priests, or a priest, if you will, selling these indulgences. And he watched as the people were giving up their goods because they were desiring healing. They were desiring wealth. They were desiring marriage, different things they were desiring. And he was promising them if they gave up their sustenance. And so he became angered. And he went to the priest, and the priest sold him an indulgence or gave him an indulgence. And he took it, and he nailed it to the cathedral doors, and that's where Martin Luther started the Protestant movement and where he began to break away because he realized what he had been raised up in Catholicism was a lie. And so even when we look at certain events that we're now indulged in, even what's going to happen at the end of this month, the Christmas celebration. has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, though we've made it. And I just preached a message the other day, and that message was, deception is our nemesis. Now, the word nemesis, when you look it up, is arch enemy. So that means arch, A-R-C-H. That means the head enemy. We know that Satan is the father of all lies, and he has many minions out there. In fact, the word that I mentioned, minion, has anyone heard the word minion recently? The one thing we have to understand, is this. He knows that many adults have enough wisdom to find him out. So what he does is he brings things to us when we're children. Even a lot of the things you see in this world today, people are doing it because it reminds them of being children. And that is how the deception grows. And then we indoctrinate our children because we like the way it makes us feel. It gives us this sense of joy, if you will, but it's a false joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, not the joy in the world. But yet and still, because of deception, people will argue tooth and nail about practicing what they've always practiced. And let me assure you this one thing. Just because you always did a thing a certain way does not make it right. You know, you hear something, well, my mama did it this way. Well, okay, that's good. So mama did it that way, but did mama have an understanding of why she was doing a thing? And I'll give you an example real quick here. There's a story about a mother who watched her mother cut the corner of the ham off every year and throw it in the trash. And so that mother, being a daughter, watching her mother do that, when she became a mother, she did the same thing. And then the daughter, looking at her mother going, I wonder why she does that. So she went to her mother, she says, Mama, why is it every year that we have an Easter ham that you cut the corner off and throw it in the trash? She says, I don't know. That's all Mama do. She said, well, do you mind if I ask Grandma why she did that? And so she says, sure, give her a call. So she called Grandma and she said, Grandma, I notice every year when we have an Easter ham, Mama cuts the corner off of it and throws it in the trash. And she said she watched you do that. Why did you do that? She said, oh, baby, that was simple. My pot wasn't big enough. So you see, we can have traditions and not know why a thing is being done, but we'll continue in that tradition out of ignorance. Now, this mother, every year, cut the corner off the Easter ham. First of all, she shouldn't have been celebrating Easter, but that's another story, too. But you just see how we can get caught up in deception. And doing things out of tradition. Now, I'm reminded of the story of Achan when Israel marched around the walls of Jericho for 13 times and the walls crumbled because they sounded the trumpet. The trumpet is your voice, the shofar, it's your voice, the trumpet of praise. And when we get together and began to praise God, we change the atmosphere. And so the walls fell, and we know the story how Achan went in and stole the silver and gold and the Babylonian robe and then went and hid it in his tent. And so what he did effectively is by taking the artifacts of tradition out of Jericho, which God could destroy everything in it except Rahab the harlot and her family because of what she did for the spies, he effectively brought sin in the camp. He effectively brought those things, those out of the world into the church's presence. One man, because he was disobedient, caused the entire church to be tainted to the fact that when they went up against AI, they were defeated. A small country, they were defeated. And then Joshua went back and asked God why, and he told him why. And after he brought all the tribes of Israel before him, the 12 tribes before him, and questioned, he came to Achan, and he said, what have you done? and they can reveal what he had did by taking those artifacts. And he had to be killed, he and his entire family. So what it says is, remember what God told Moses when he was coming up to the burning bush. He says, take the shoes from off thy feet, for the ground which you stand on is holy ground. What he was saying to Moses, the shoes on your feet represent everywhere in the world you have been. It represents being in Pharaoh's palace for 40 years. It represents everything that you have done in the world, and God desires that we not bring the world into his presence. You see, God deals with us because he does not deal with us in our current state. He deals with us in our finished state. What does that mean? Isaiah 46 and 10, I declare the end from the beginning. He's dealing with us up ahead, but he uses the placement of being up ahead to deal with us now because we're risen. Excuse me. Though we have been covered in the blood, though he died on the cross for our sins, we're still in sinful flesh. And so God does not dwell in the midst of sin. It has to be a place where we're clean, if you will. And so that's how he deals with us, because he's dealing from the end before the beginning. Now I want to say this. Matthew 24 is key to what's going on in our time. And when you look at specific verses in Matthew 24, really all of 24, and I'll say this to you also, Matthew 24 in your Bible is in red writing, which means that's Jesus speaking. And I got to tell you, you know, early on in my Christian walk, you know, and repeating things that I heard, not studying things. And a lot of people simply repeat what someone else has said and take it as the gospel. And this is where we have to be careful, because we have to use the word of God. What does it say in 2 Timothy 3:16? It says, all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Sound doctrine, sound understanding, good living. It's good for reproof. It's good for doctrine. It's good for correction. It is a rod. And we know that the church today is out of order. We read that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, where it says that they will have the form of godliness, but denying the power. So everyone that we're reading in the preceding verses is people in the church. It's not people in the world. Because every one of those people mentioned in the preceding verses are already in the world. You see, God died on the cross for everyone. And if you come to the knowledge of God and repent of everything that you're doing, then you shall be saved, right? But those spirits that cause people to be and act like that are already in the world. So he can't be talking about the world, because he says they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power. They shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Meaning that is the people in the church acting that way. And then when you go back to Matthew 24, looking at Matthew 24 and 12, let's see what it says there. It says this, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So again, he's talking to the church. The sin is coming to the church. How did it get there? It came in subtly. Remember what happened in Genesis 3. The serpent tricked Eve into a conversation, and he deceived her. Here we go. Deception is our nemesis, our arch enemy, because this is a war for souls. When God spoke to Adam and Eve in the spirit realm, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Subdue means to control. Subdue is also the word occupy. And did he not say when he went to the innkeeper that he wanted to occupy until he returned? That's what the 2 pence was for, to occupy until he returned. The church was supposed to be the government. Isaiah 9:6 says the government shall be upon his shoulders. Who stands on the authority of God but the church? And I will say this to you, and certainly when we start talking about the United States, the people that came here and started, quote unquote, the United States were not Christians. This was never a Christian nation. In fact, they were just the opposite. They were called deists, and they practiced deism. What did that mean? They recognized a God, but not the God. And even this popular phrase that everybody quotes, the separation of church and state. Well, let me share that with you. It's not in the Constitution. It was a letter, a dissent, written by Thomas Jefferson. Now, why is that important? Because they were all Masons. And during the Crusades, they were considered what's called the rejected knights. They were allowed to fight in the Crusades, but because of their religious practice, they were rejected from the Anglican Church. And this is why they fled Europe under the guise of religious persecution, because they were not allowed to practice what their religion. Now, I want to say this. I, and you as well, should not have a religion. We have a relationship. That's the difference. Religion simply means this. I do it the same way all the time, repetitively. If you wake up every morning and you get out of bed, you do the same thing every morning, you're religious. Mm-hmm. If you put on clothes, the same
ritualistic. The ritual.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Ritualistic religion. And so the word religion, they've made it this thing that it really isn't. Again, deception is our enemy. Right now, we're in a time period where time is moving at an ecstatic pace. I mean, here we are right now. It's December 14th. We just blinked. I mean, and it was January 1st. And here we are at the end of the year already. And so God has sped up time. But why is he speeding up time? Because the end is growing near. And I was one of those that was shouting that we were going to be raptured out before the tribulation. Oh, that pre-trib thing. Deception is our nemesis. Because it says here in Matthew 24 that all of us are going to go through the tribulation. And this is key here. Why? Because why would the devil taunt and hurt those that have already sworn to him? The tribulation is for the church. That seven-year period is for the church. And it speaks to Revelation 13. Let's go there real quick. Revelation chapter 10, beginning at verse number 11. And I'm going to bring this out, and there's a reason why I'm reading this verse as a scripture. Because we're going to talk about a gentleman that has now shown up in Israel. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns, like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast. Does that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound when Moses was on the mountaintop, how Aaron, the priest, the pastor,
yeah,
when they built the golden calf? You see, prophetic cycles. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Prophetic cycles means seasons in the spirit realm are called prophetic cycles. The same events keep happening with different people in that role. Anyway, he ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or in the forehead. Does anyone recall a few years ago when we had a bank called Washington Mutual, and they had this commercial where people were wearing the barcode on their forehead, and they were stepping to the teller, and the teller was having a problem scanning their barcode that was on their head? That was making light of the mark of the beast, the barcode system. Can't escape it. It's on everything. It's a part of the system now. You can't buy anything that doesn't have it on it. Now, what is key is once they bring this thing into full force, you won't have access to your bank account. You won't have access, and money will be obsolete. So if you have any cash, it's nothing. In fact, it really is of no value today, because once President Nixon took us off of the gold standard and put us on the fiat currency based on oil, the dollar really has no value. And so they have been marching in this direction for eons, for a long time. But because of lack of understanding in the church, because preachers and pastors were not studying the word for depth and understanding, and most people did not even dare go into the book of Revelations because, oh, no, that's that scary book. But that's where we needed to be to need to understand what is it that we need to be watching out for. So he goes on to say, required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or in the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So that means now there are three components to this thing that will rear its ugly head. And we know it to be the Antichrist, or the false prophet, the Antichrist, or is it the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist? So here is something that I want to bring to your attention. There is a young man now in the land that we call Israel, which is nothing more than Canaan land, because Israel was never a country. Israel was a man, and Israel became the 12 tribes of Israel, or the church. We know that the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, was scattered through the African diaspora across the earth because of their disobedience, and most of what we're reading in the Bible is the southern kingdom, or Judah and Benjamin, or Benjamin. And so that is where the church, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, on the day of Pentecost, and then later on in the book of Acts, they went from being Jews to becoming Christians. So, so again, if we don't study for content, then we will be led astray by every whim of doctrine. And that is what has happened with denominationalism, and why you see so many people now pulling away from denominations and becoming what we said non-denominational. But even in that non-denomination, we're still fragmented. We're still teaching based on the denomination that we came out of, though we don't call ourselves Baptist, though we don't call ourselves apostolic, though we don't call ourselves Church of God in Christ or any other denomination. We teach from the foundation of what we were taught. And so we have to be careful, because if we're going to pull away from the denomination, then we need to pull away from the doctrine. And we need to stick to the one doctrine, which is the doctrine of God. It's given for reproof, correction, understanding, right? We don't have private interpretation. Now, let's just talk about Christmas. Jesus was not born December 25th.
Right.
In fact, the date itself was chosen by Constantine, because the Catholic Church was originally celebrating it on January 6th. But Constantine, being the emperor, December 25th. Why? Because he was enamored by the cult of the unconquered sun, not S-O-N, but S-U-N. Now, the sun god, Ra, is none other than in your Bible, Genesis chapter 11, Nimrod.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so last about what ancient Egypt was, it was called Akkadia or Akkad before it was called Egypt. It was also called the land of Ur and the land of Uz. That was in the region of Akkadia, ancient Egypt. But what today is known as Babylon. And where is it located? In the land called Iraq. Now, Iraq and Iran and Turkey and all these other nations came about after World War II when the United States and Britain disposed of the Ottoman Empire. Why? Because the Ottoman Empire had shut down the Silk Road and the spice route. And the Europeans, the Spaniards, had this affinity for sugar. And they would have to travel and sail southward along the coast of Africa all the way around the Horn to India to get their spices. And the trip was agonizing and took a long time before they could get their spices. And so the repayment to those people was that they broke them up and changed the name of the Ottoman Empire into various countries. But the key here is this. In Genesis chapter 2, it mentions four rivers. Those four rivers are in the region of the land of Havilah, which is the land from the Red Sea all the way over to what we call the Persian Gulf. That's the land of Havilah. That is where Israel is today, the land of Havilah.
Mm-hmm.
So you read that. It also talks about the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is on one place on the earth, and that is in Iraq. And it speaks about watching the Euphrates River, because what happens in the Euphrates River will determine when Jesus is returning. It says, when it begins to dry up, know that his return is very nigh. And the Euphrates River is drying up, as many other rivers.
Mm-hmm.
More important than the Euphrates. And so, saints of God, listen, all of this information tonight, it's in your Bible. And if we would study,
yeah.
You see, we have been given a charge. Now, let me read through where that charge starts. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9. Once again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who give the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It may read different than your Bible. Mm-hmm. They heard the alarm but ignored it, so the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Who is the watchman today? The church. Not one
mm-hmm.
person. We are all required to be, what did he say? Watch and pray. Did he not say that to the church?
Mm-hmm.
Watch
right.
and pray. Be aware of what's going on. And talking to God, you have a relationship with God. For what purpose? The Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach whatsoever I've taught you and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus' name, or Yeshua, HaMashiach, Christ the Messiah. And lo, I'll be with you to the very end. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but you have a mandate. We have a mandate. It is to sound the alarm. And if we're not, if we are then hanging out with the world because, well, that's my son, that's my daughter. Well, are they living according to the word? No. But I can't say anything to them. That's my child. I can't tell them to change their lives. They got their own mind, baby. You better say something, because both of you, if you don't, and they die in their sin, both of you go have to stand before God and give an account in the line with the goats. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's Matthew. So you see, we have a responsibility. So now, verse 7 of this, of Ezekiel 33. Now, son of man, I'm making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die and you fail to tell them to change their ways, did I just say that? Then they will die in their sins and I will hold you responsible for their death. My son, he loves his partner. They're so good together, both of them. And they're even trying to start a family, but it's two men having a child. That child's mind is going to be wrecked because that child is looking at the two men, and I have two fathers, not a mother and a father, or two women. I have two mommies. There's even curriculum that they're teaching in our elementary schools to the children, my two mommies, my two daddies. And because we're not checking the school system, we're allowing them to attack our children. They spend more time in the school system than they do at home.
Right.
My God. Again, because we've been beat up about this separation of church and state. Now, the world can tell you anything, but we can't tell the world anything about the church. Look at what happened during COVID. The church is shutting down. You can't, now listen, we ought to be able to exercise our faith. But no, because we have no power, we won't stand together on one accord. On the day of Pentecost, those people, that church, stood together on one accord. And as a result of that, the power of God was made manifest. What did he say? Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And in my they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They will handle serpents, and if they drink a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who was that? The church will do that, the believers. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not a denomination, but the church, the believers, had this authority and power to cast out devils. Just as he gave his disciples in Matthew 10, he gave them authority over every unclean spirit, sickness, and disease. He gave the church the same power and responsibility. So, again, people of God, we have a charge. And that charge is we need to be sounding the alarm. We need to be in the field and not sitting on our gluteus maximus and letting people die in their sin. If they reject what you tell them, guess what God said? Take the dust off your feet and move on. At least you have deposited that seed. Did he not say in Isaiah 5, my words shall not return unto me void, for it will accomplish that for which it was sent? My God. Mm-hmm. Speak the word, whether they receive it or not.
Yeah.
Speak the word.
Mm-hmm.
But if you warn them to repent, and they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself. So, the young man in Israel, Yanuka Rav Shlomo Yehuda. He says that he is a Jewish Messiah. To him, not to God, to him. And the rabbis over there are bowing at his feet. Now let me just tell you who they really are. They are Ashkenazi or Khazarian. Ashkenazi. Look up that word. The last four letters of the word Ashkenazi is N-A-Z-I. Why is that significant? Who was in Germany during World War II? Okay? After World War II, they were part of Hitler's regime. They signed what's called the Balfour Agreement with the United States and Britain, and they were allowed to go into Canaan land, call it Israel, and become Jews for the sole purpose of watching Nasser, who wanted to bring communism into Egypt. They are all Masons. The Israeli Knesset or the Israeli Congress dictates to the U.S. Congress what should be done. That's why they're our partners. So again, saints of God, deception is our nemesis. And if we don't look beyond the lies, we're going to go down in defeat because we're following more of the lie than the truth of God. And my Bible tells me that the truth shall make us free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed, correct? So we need to be looking at, we need not looking to our own understanding, but acknowledging the Holy Spirit that will lead us to all truth. He says in Proverbs 4 and 7, wisdom is the principal thing in all thy getting, get understanding. And we can only do it if we speak and we bring and we rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? All right, God bless you.
Amen. You know, Apostle, go ahead, Pastor Tasila, were you saying something?
Oh, nothing. I'm just, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask Apostle Taylor to just pray for our listeners. This is a lot of good information you've been giving us, and I just pray that everybody is receiving this. So just a quick prayer for our listeners. We have about 3 minutes or so.
Let me say this real quick. When I'm coming back again, we'll talk about pagan holidays.
Yeah.
Father God in heaven, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for the visitation. We thank you, Lord God, for being in the midst of us. You said, well, there are two or three gathered in your name, you're in the midst. We thank you for being right here, Father God. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, this that was discussed tonight, that it would cause a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and that, amen, people would get in the Bible and begin to study. And if they need help, that they would reach out and ask for help, because there are teachers out here that want to teach the truth. And so, God, we just pray that your spirit would be upon everyone. We pray healing over everyone tonight in the name of Jesus, healing and deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for Pastor T. Meyer and Tashila right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for the platform that they have created at this venue to bring speakers aboard to teach the word of God. Lord, we thank you. We pray blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Pastor Cecilia, do you have any last-minute words?
I just have a couple of things I wanted to say. We kind of researched that about because we have kids, and we know that the kids like Christmas and all that, and we know it's pagan in this commercial, but this is what I figured out about the whole thing. Jesus doesn't have a day. We are supposed to worship him every day, but he doesn't have a special time. But since they want to think that that Christmas is his birthday, to me, it's okay. Then we get to talk about Jesus. We have a day in the year that families come together, have food together, and that they got to think about Jesus. Whose birthday is it anyway? It might not be, but you got to think about him, and you got to share. And that's what I like about Christmas and family at that time, that you get to do that. And we do know it's pagan. We do know it's not Jesus' birthday wasn't that day. We kind of got into that a long time ago, Pastor T and I.
Yeah.
And even with the kids, and we never taught them about any Santa Claus and all that trash because we knew it wasn't correct.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact that Jesus has a day. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. I love that, too. But Satan is trying to come for Jesus in this time, and he's trying to tear down all the things that Jesus is building up so that the eyes will be on him at this time. And I just tell everybody to keep your eyes on the Lord. It is dark out there. It's real wild. But remember, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The Lord wins. We are winners.
Amen.
You are on a winning team. Amen. We love you guys. And come back next week. And thank you, Pastor. And kiss your lovely wife. And God bless you guys. And thank you for all your wisdom and all the knowledge that you and opening of the eyes of the people. God bless you guys.
God bless you. And we will see everybody next week. Well, probably next year. So. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we will see you in 2023. Praise the Lord. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.